the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1013. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne, but though a seed of heavenly birth, to men they're little known. 1013.
There's a May it please God to bless his words to our souls this evening. Let us turn to the second book of Samuel and read chapter 15. The second book of Samuel and reading chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vows which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron.' And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom.' And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword.' And the king's servant said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.' And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, 'Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return, thou, and take back thy brethren? Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, Carry back the ark of God into the city. For if I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again, and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art thou not a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar, the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed and eternal Lord God, as we have gathered together for worship and the end of thy day, O Lord, do we pray, tarry with us. O Lord, grant tonight we may know that the Lord is here. We pray that thy name may be lifted up. We pray that thou would get honour and glory to thy great and holy name, that we may indeed abase ourselves and repent in dust and ashes. And may we be truly seeking unto the Lord, that he will be gracious to us, that he will visit our souls with his salvation. Gracious God, we each have great needs. Lord, we come tonight, some of us have some realization of that need. No doubt there are some who do not have that realization of that need. But Lord, we pray tonight that need may be revealed, and that we may come with an honest heart, a true heart, seeking that thou, the great Almighty God, will be gracious to us. And Lord, thou wilt visit our souls. And Lord, we pray, leave not my soul, our souls, destitute. O gracious God, we cannot come meriting any favour. Lord, we cannot deserve any blessing. For Lord, we look at ourselves and we desire to confess our sins, our shortcomings, our failures in so many, many ways. And so Lord, we come tonight pleading for thy mercy, pleading for thy favour. Lord, we think of that, the case of that in that parable of the publican who came and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, may there be those here tonight. Indeed, Lord, may we all be in that category who come with that same prayer. Lord, that thou would be merciful to us. For Lord, we are sinners. And Lord, we pray for that mercy. Thou would come and speak to our souls. Lord, encourage us, correct us, instruct us, deliver us. Lord, whatever is our individual needs, we pray, gracious God, as we're here tonight, thou would be gracious to us. Lord, we brought our bodies into this building. But Lord, we pray we may not just be satisfied with an outward performance of religion. We pray, Lord, tonight our hearts may be on the stretch after our God. Oh Lord, may we have that true concern to be able to come and say, Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Gracious God, we think of the wrestling prayer that Jacob had. And Lord, we confess today, we know and see so little of wrestling prayer. But oh Lord, we pray that it may be so. We may be blessed with it. And we know, Lord, what the result was. Lord, it was a good result. Lord, that it's bless thy servant Jacob. And so, Lord, we pray that we may be blessed to have some evidence of that wrestling prayer with our God. And Lord, so often we realize our prayers are ineffectual. Oh Lord, how solemn it is to realize that that which is not of faith is sin. Lord, we come before our God and confess our sins, and we would desire, Lord, not to just come with mere lip service, But Lord, may we come with our heart confessing our sins. Lord, and we pray that we therefore look upon us, Lord, graciously, and come to us and bless us. Lord, we do not know what that means in our individual lives. But Lord, we pray we may have that simple desire that Jacob did, that he might be blessed. Oh Lord, do then come, we pray, and remember us with that favour thou dost bear unto thy people. And Lord, may we have the evidence that we are among thy people. Lord, leave us not short in these things. Lord, we pray to be delivered from just thinking that we're in the right way, the narrow way, when in fact we're in the broad way, which leads to destruction. Gracious God, assure our conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh Lord, we pray that we may know the wonderful effect to be under the blood. Lord, we think of those that day of the Passover. Lord, we know there was only safety to those houses of Israel because they were under the blood. And Lord, may we know tonight, individually, Lord, in each of our soul's condition, that there is only safety, Lord, when we are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray then for the blessing of the Lord to make known to us the great blessing and favour of such things. Lord, have mercy upon us. Come to us. Touch our hearts. Lord, deliver us from any wrong desires or wrong thoughts or wrong aspirations. Lord, may we come humbly and simply to thy feet. Lord, may we know what it is to come where Paul the Apostle did on that Damascus road, when he came and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, Lord, grant us each that willing spirit. Lord, to be made willing in the day of thy power to do thy will. Gracious Lord, look upon us then, we pray. For Lord, we find ourselves living in a dark day. And Lord, a spiritually sad day. Lord, where there is a lack of reality in religion. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come powerfully and touch our hearts, Lord, to such an extent that, Lord, we will be moved by that Spirit to speak of thy gracious goodness, thy mercy and favour toward us. Lord, we do seek then earnestly that even this night, that would do something in our hearts for thy great name's sake. Lord, so that thy name may be exalted. And we think of that beautiful expression, Lord, let us exalt his name together. Oh Lord, what a wonderful scene that was. And Lord, may it be so even here. There may be that real desire in the hearts of each one to join together in exalting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, thou art worthy. Oh Lord, thou art a great God. Thou art a great King. Thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh Lord, enter into our hearts even tonight and bless us with a sense of thy presence, a sense of thy greatness, a sense of our unworthiness, and a living desire that Christ might be all and in all. And so, Lord, we pray then that the things of God, the vital, important things of God, may indeed be real and precious to us, and that we may only be concerned to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we're thankful the Apostle Paul was able to declare, and I determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, we pray, Lord, that may be each of ours' real heaven-born desire, that Christ might be exalted and we may be drawn to him. Oh, Lord, we remember the words in the Song of Solomon, draw me, we will run after thee. Lord, we don't see very much running today. Oh, Lord, we see those who drag back. Lord, we see those who are dawdling. Lord, we see not much drawing power. Oh, Lord, do grant there may be a time of true blessing, when, Lord, thy Holy Spirit may indeed shine forth in glory, that we may be drawn to the Saviour. Lord, may we see a wonderful attraction in him. Lord, may we understand something the Bride of Christ was able to declare when she described her beloved. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for that evidence, that grace, to be able to describe what the Lord Jesus Christ means to us. Gracious God, then, do not forsake us. Do not pass us by. Do not cast us off. Oh, gracious God, come, we pray then, even tonight, and bless us indeed. Lord, that simple prayer of Jabez, we remember, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Lord, may that be our cry. May that be our prayer. May that be the desire of our heart. And, oh, Lord, do hear then and answer those petitions. Lord, we give thanks again tonight for the Word of God, for the wonderful truths it contains. And, oh, Lord, do instruct us from it as we read the truth of God. Lord, may we ever consider it to be the Word of God to our souls, not the word of man. And Lord, may it therefore speak to our hearts. And Lord, may we be directed in our spiritual lives and, Lord, in our natural lives, so that we realize what we must do as those who are the true followers of a despised and crucified man. Lord, leave us not short in the matter of our soul salvation. Well, let us not be deceived by the great deceiver of souls. Let us not, Lord, settle down, as the word tells us, on our lees. But, oh, Lord, grant there may be that changing and that from one vessel to another. Oh, Lord, that we may be alert and healthy in our soul. And so we're thankful once again for the Word of God, for the things it contains. Lord, sometimes we might ponder and then wonder why such things are recorded. But Lord, we believe every word of God contained in the Word of God is by the inspiration of our God. And therefore, Lord, may we take it to heart. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray. Bless each one that gathers here, Lord. The children, Lord, be with them, especially, Lord, in their young years. Lord, as they grow up, we pray that we surround them with thy mercy. Protect them, Lord, with thy love. Hedge up their way as they grow up in this evil world. Lord, give them grace to stand forth and to stand firm for the things of God. Lord, may they know the work of the Spirit of God in their hearts, in their souls, so, Lord, that they may walk in this world and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom our hopes of heaven depend. Lord, we pray that they may never be ashamed of the Saviour. And Lord, help them to stand firm for the truth of God, however difficult that may be. And Lord, we know it's always been difficult. We pray for grace. We pray for strength to stand firm for the truth of God and not laws to be swayed by peer pressure. Gracious God, help us day by day, hour by hour, and not be with them and help them in their examinations and in their choices of career, Lord. Hedge up their way, they may be directed in a right way. Lord, they may see perhaps crooked things being made straight. And Lord, the mountains which may be before them flowing down at thy presence. Oh, then bless the young people in this day and age in which we live. We pray, Lord, for parents. They may be given much wisdom and much grace to bring up their children. And Lord, to set forth before them a good example. Lord, may they be able to testify to their children what the Lord has done for their souls. Oh Lord, let their children not be ignorant of any work of God in their souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, there may be the evidence of the Lord whom they serve. Oh Lord, may it be so. And Lord, to these things may thy name be honoured and glorified. Similarly, Lord, not only parents, but grandparents and friends, and Lord, those who perhaps do not have any children, Lord, may they be a good example. May they be mothers in Israel who pray for the young, and Lord, seek earnestly the young spiritual welfare. Oh, we pray, Lord, that may then be a wonderful movement, a wonderful work of the Spirit of God to this end. Bless everyone then we earnestly seek. And Lord, those who work, those in the business world, Lord, help them in their work, prosper them as it seemeth thee good, encourage them, help them to come, casting all their burdens upon the Lord. May they realize the wonderful invitation, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Those perhaps who are detained at home, the mothers, Lord, be with them, help them and bless them in the work they have to do, that they may also instruct their children. And we pray, Lord, there may be that love and unity one toward another. In the church of God, Lord, that flowing together, that praying for each other, bearing each other's burdens. Oh, Lord, may they know what it is to know true fellowship one with another and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, to hear us then, when we pray for these things, Lord, let not the devil have the victory. Oh, Lord, how he goes about trying to silence the church of God. Lord, how successful often he is. But, Lord, may he be a vanquished foe. And, Lord, may we realize that we are, by grace, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And oh, may we know in our hearts and souls the blessed love of the Saviour. That love, Lord, which may move us. Lord, we know it's love that moves. Oh, Lord, grant it, we pray, in each of our hearts, the blessed love of the Saviour. Oh, Lord, look upon us now. Again, we pray for the suffering Church of God. Blessed as we are, with so many favours, so many comforts, Lord, may they be used to our eternal good. We pray for the suffering Church of God, many who do not enjoy the freedom and liberties that we have. Stand by them, Lord, and bless them and encourage them. And so, Lord, once more we come before our God. Oh, Lord, do not forsake us. Do bless us and do remember us for good. And may thy holy name have all the praise and all the honour and glory. We ask it in the all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 584. Jesus lived and loved and died, rose and lives to intercede, and with Zion on his breast, he has said he'll ever rest. 584.
May it please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let us turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 15, and reading verses 25 and 26. The second book of Samuel, chapter 15, reading verses 25 and 26. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." King David was in a very difficult situation. And as we read together, his son Absalom was trying to claim the kingdom. And David clearly was fearful that that might occur. And so he was making his escape. And as he was making his escape, we see that there was that situation where the ark was taken out of the city to go with David. They were carrying the ark, and of course that was a very precious and wonderful object. But we see then David, as it were, reconsiders the position and realizes the wrongness of such an occasion or such an attitude, and therefore speaks that the ark should be taken back. And as he said, "Carry back the ark of God into the city." And then what does he do? He commits himself into the hand of God. Now we must remember here the situation, which was not at all pleasant for David. And there was no certainty that he would come back. But we see his willingness for God's will to be done in his life, whatever the outcome. And what does that show to us? It shows to us the work of grace in this man's heart. It shows us that this man, King David, was willing to have the Lord's will in his life, whatever that might be. And how good it is and how important it is that every one of us realize is the truth and the significance of this prayer, this desire. David wasn't demanding the king would give him the victory. We might think, well, surely, David, that's the real need. Surely you need to desire the king will bring about a wonderful victory and that everything will be good. No. You see, David didn't know the will of God. And my friends, you and I don't know the will of God in our lives. And sometimes we might be tempted to pray for certain outcomes, certain deliverances, certain blessings, which may not be in accordance with God's will, which may not be for his honour and glory. And it will be a good thing, therefore, if the Spirit of God directs us in a similar way to this, a similar concern that David had, that David was willing, totally willing, for God's will to be done. Now, you know, that's a test of the reality of our religion. In our lives, whether we're willing to submit to God's will for us. It's a big question, isn't it? Just ponder that for a moment in your life and my life. Are we willing to submit to God's will? And just be careful how you answer that. Are we willing tonight to submit to God's will? Or are we really saying, I've got a plan and I want God to work to it? The truth is, God has a plan and you and I will work to it whether we like it or not. And therefore it will be a good blessing if you and I are favoured to come as David was, in submission to the will of God. Now, remember what he says. If I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And therefore, whatever the position was, David desired, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Well, I ask the question tonight. Can you honestly say that before God? Can you honestly say that before God? And if you think you can, then just look into your heart and to see whether that is true, whether you are submitting to the will of God, or if you are walking in a contrary way. The Word of God tells us this, and it's very true. If you walk contrary to God, he will walk contrary to you. And it's a difficult path, and it's a hard path. And it's an alienating path. And there's no true union and fellowship in that path, because there is enmity between your soul and God. And so we should be thankful tonight that we have the blessed evidence of God's word to direct us as to how we should respond in times of difficulty. Zadok had brought the ark. No doubt he thought it was a good thing to do. No doubt he thought, well, if the ark was there, then victory would be assured. But of course, that was not so. And therefore, David orders him, carry back the ark of God into the city. Yes, take the ark back. I don't need the ark. But God doesn't need the ark. God knows what he will do. And God knows what he will do in your life and my life. And bless God, if what he's going to do in your life and my life will be for his honour and for his glory. And so we have this statement here. Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if you say thus, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And so in our lives, in your life and my life, we may have not the same situation, obviously, as David had here. But there may be a situation in your life tonight, and of course, I've no idea what that might be. And you may be wondering perhaps what to do. Well, what was the blessing here? David was given grace to submit to God. And what is the blessing in that? The blessing is this. As for God, his way is perfect. And however difficult the way may seem, however hard it may appear. And if you take a certain course, you might think, well, that's going to be very difficult for me. If you think of that, and it may be, just remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the hymn writer says was this, his way was much rougher and harder than mine. Did Christ the Lord suffer, and shall I repine? See, the Lord gives grace to do his will. And when the Lord gives grace to do his will, there is the answer of a good conscience. What is there? Peace in the heart. Remember, if you walk in an opposite direction, you won't find peace. No, you'll find difficulty and hardships. Remember, the Word of God tells us the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In a dry land. No water, no moisture, hardness, difficulties. But oh, the blessing is to do the will of the Lord, to follow his way, his direction, the right way. You know, the Lord tells us, we read the Psalms, he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And my friends, you and I are traveling. We're on a journey. A journey. And the journey is not promised to be an easy one. We're told what it's like with regard to Jacob. The Lord led him about, instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, but where was it? He found him in a desert place, in a waste, howling wilderness. That's the description, really, of this world to the child of God. It's not a pleasant place. It's a waste, howling wilderness. We're not at home. I hope we're not, anyway. I hope we're not at home in the world. It's the same thing if we are. I hope you're at home when you're with the people of God, when you're listening to the Word of God, when you're reading the Word of God. I hope that's when you're at home. I hope it's not when you're walking contrary to God and doing those things which are not in accordance with his will. But may you be submissive to the will of God for you. We see here God's servant David, submissive to God's will for him, whatever that might be. And he spells it out, doesn't he? That if I shall find favour in the eyes of the Lord, if the Lord should bring him back, well, he would be thankful for it. But if not, if the Lord have no delight in him, then he was willing to say, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. It's a great blessing for you and me, my friends, if we are brought into such a place like that, a humble submission to the will of God. And if we need again encouragement with regard to that aspect, again turn to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him in Gethsemane. Remember what he did, what he said there as he prayed to his Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You may have a big trial before you, a big temptation. Well, may you be given grace to say the words of the Saviour. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because you can be sure that the will of God will be best for you. And you and I often don't understand our lives. We're not told, we're not promised we're going to be understand the way that God leads us. But you see, it's a blessed place to rest in the Lord, to trust in Him, that He will indeed take hold of us, and that He will lead us in that right and good way. Well, submission to the will of God, and to realize what the David was able to declare here is so necessary for you and me today. To be able to come and say, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Let him do, the Lord, do to me. Do to me as seemeth good unto him. Now the Lord knows what is good for you and me. We don't know what's good, do we? Sometimes we think we do. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to pray for that because I want that to come to pass, and I'm sure that will be for the honour and glory of God. It may not be. It may not be. We can sometimes make a wrong assumption. The Lord knows His perfect plan. The Lord has a perfect plan. Our plans are utterly imperfect. God has a perfect plan. And that plan of God for His children is this. It's not to give them an easy life. It's this. It's to prepare them for their heavenly home. It's to prepare them to go and to be with Christ. It's to prepare them to spend eternity with Him in glory. Our life on this earth is just a preparation. Very often, perhaps we think that, well, we've got so much to occupy myself in this life, so many things I want to do, so many things I consider are necessary. You know, there is but one thing needful, and that's to know the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the vital thing. Everything else, by comparison, is subservient and really is insignificant. Yes, David had the possibility of losing the kingdom and losing his life. But he was willing to submit himself unto God. You know, if you and I were to lose our life and to lose everything, but to go to glory, then you see, eternal blessings are ours. Eternal favour, eternal good, eternal happiness. And so it's important that as we have an account like this, and these historical accounts are full of instruction for his people as they journey on through this life, to realise here we have set before us the true desire of a man of God to come submitting himself unto the will of God. Yes, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Well, it will be a blessing tonight if you and I are able to come and submit ourselves to God in this way. And that means without any conditions. We sometimes like to set conditions, don't we, in our prayers. David here was submissive to the will of God. And of course, he wasn't the only person. You remember, as I mentioned in prayer, Paul the Apostle, when he was converted on that Damascus road. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I just wonder tonight if you have known that experience when the Lord has shone his light into your heart, as he did to Paul on that occasion. the light's come, and you've seen into your heart and seen the evil there, and the Lord has brought you to that place of submission, so that you come and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Paul meant what he said. It wasn't weasel words. He meant what he said. And it will be a blessing for us tonight if we come like that. And if we are like that, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And let me tell you this. What did it do for Paul? Paul was directed by the Lord. And what was that way? He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did. When he asked that question, he was willing to do that which the Lord directs him to do. My friends, Paul never had an easy life. You can read about it, the great opposition he had, but he was blessed in it. And he was blessed through it. And what did he do? What did it do? It brought him nearer to Christ. Yes, and he was willing in the day of his power to forsake all. To forsake all. To take up his cross and follow his Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we come, you see, like this, in this way, and are brought to be willing to say, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Are we then willing to do that? The apostle says to take up his cross daily. It's not just an occasion when we pick it up when it suits us, when it's nice and smooth and perhaps in opposition, and we can kind of think, well, I can just take this cross today. The way seems quite clear before me. There's no opposition, no one around. No, says the Lord, every day. Every day, when it's stormy, when it's calm, still to take up our cross and follow him. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, did it every day. The Apostle Paul did it every day. And we understand what he had to endure. But you know, he was able to speak those words, the strength that God gave to him. And he said, I can do all things. Those things which might appear to you to be very difficult, very hard. If you're relying on yourself, on your strength, it will be. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. That's the secret. And you see, if Christ is with you, the things fade away. The mountains flow down. The crooked things become straight. The impossibilities become possible. And what that means is really to have a right and a humble submission to the will of God. Like David, like Paul. Well, have you walked that way? Again, answer honestly before God. See, we only have one master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You don't have to worry what men and women, boys and girls think. You have to forget all about those. You have to come to this place and bow down before God as David did. Now don't forget the great strait he was in, the great opposition he was in. And you might think, well, of course, David, keep the ark with you, keep everything there, so that you've got everything, as it were, on your side. No, David was willing to submit himself to the will of God. And so he tells us very beautifully, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Yes. The effect was really, he was made willing in the day of God's power. Now, my friends, God gives us that power to do his will, to go in his strength. Those beautiful words, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only, to speak well of Christ. What a blessing that is, to be found in that path, and to submit ourselves to our God. Let him do to me as seemeth him good, when we come perhaps confessing what Christ has done, confessing his mercy, confessing his love toward us. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Unto him. You know, we can't make a mistake, can we? We can't go wrong if we come like this, because we're trusting not in ourselves. We're trusting in our God. That God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows every detail of your life and my life. And he's prepared a way, the right way, and that way which leads to the eternal habitation of happiness. How often perhaps we foolishly try to plan our life, try to seek the way which seems right. You know, the Word of God tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof, the ways of death. Don't follow the way that seems right. You follow the way that the Lord directs you in. And it may be a very difficult way for your flesh. Don't forget, the flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. God leads in that way which brings honour and glory to his great and holy name, and brings us and draws us to himself. Well, David is a good example, isn't it? Here he was fleeing before Absalom, and yet brought to this humble submission. Did God forsake him? Did God leave him? No. God blessed him, and God, of course, brought him back to Jerusalem. And God honoured that gracious submission that he had given to him. You know, what we have to do really is to forsake all. We have to forsake all. The Lord Jesus said to forsake all and to follow him. Now, what a blessing that is. The Spirit of God gives us grace to do just that. It's a good place. Because forsaking all the things of this poor world, we'd have to leave them anyway. We can't take them with us. We'd have to leave them. So a favour it will be to know that we are doing the will of our God, following his gracious and blessed example, and remembering that we have a God who looks upon us as his children. David was a child of God. He was one of God's children. And the Lord was looking upon him for good. And he was dealing with him in accordance with his purpose as one of his children. No less today, God deals with his children for their good, for their eternal good. Now, remember in this chapter that we read together, we have some good examples. We have the example of this man Ittai and David's dealing with him, and the constancy of this man. This was a new convert, Ittai the Gittite. And David said, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile, whereas thou camest but yesterday. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return thou and take back thy brethren? Mercy and truth be with thee. You see, the King David was giving this man really an excuse to avoid the battle. It was a new convert, somebody that had come to join with David and his army. And David realized this. He was a young man, a young convert. Well, what was the result? What did Ittai respond? And it's a good example for us in our spiritual lives to realize how he responded. He answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." He was willing to follow the king. What a blessing, my friends, if you and I are willing to follow the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the opposition may be. Yes, here was Ittai. Remember the case of Ittai. If you think, well, I really am not too sure, and perhaps I should go back. No, Ittai was granted that grace to press on, and so David said, "Go and pass over. Yes, join with the army, join with the band, join with the church of God. Go and pass over." So he joined with David. And still, you see, then David saw the difficulty of taking the ark, but the concern was that the Lord might be with him, and the Lord might direct him, and the Lord might bless him, and the Lord would not leave him nor forsake him. Farther on in the book of Psalms, we have the evidence of David's testimony, really, with regards to this condition, when he wrote that 40th Psalm, which is, of course, a very beautiful psalm. And it starts off, as you perhaps remember, "I waited patiently for the Lord." And then it comes down, and David says this, 8th verse, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." Well, tonight, my friends, can you say that? Can I say that? "I delight to do thy will." Again, is it the honesty of our heart? It's good for us to be there. Delights to do the will of God. "Yea, thy law is within my heart." He knew the word of God. And perhaps you and I know the word of God in our heart. And perhaps we know what is the right way and the true way. But are we delighting in it? And are we walking in it? Or are we walking in an opposite way? "I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." The life of God was in his soul. Now, surely the evidence is that if you and I possess the light and the life of God in our soul, that means the blessed new spirit within us, then may we be favored, as David was, to delight to do the will of his God. There wasn't any hardship. And do remember, we have a good master. We have a gracious God who deals with his people in love, to their souls. Love to their souls. Love to your soul and my soul. My friends, do we realize it? Realize the love was so great. You see, here we have the example of David. I mentioned the life of the Savior himself. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Lord Jesus was willing to suffer so greatly that you and I might possess, be given the gift of eternal life. The willingness of the Savior to do his Father's will, whatever the cost. My friends, how great it was it not? You know, in pondering that, the Savior sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was before him. He was in an agony, but yet still willing to do his Father's will. Perhaps David here, in measure, was in agony. His son turned against him. The army against him, fleeing, as it were, for his life, and yet willing to do his Father's will. The Savior willing to do his Father's will. Paul the Apostle willing to do his Father's will. My friends, tonight, are you and I willing to do our Father's will? And you know what that means in your life, in my life. And to do the will of God is a blessed walk, a blessed path, because it brings us into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot really expect, can we, union with Christ if we're walking in an opposite direction, if you're walking far off from God. David here, submissive to his God. The Church of God, submissive to the Lord. Union with Christ, my friends, is no greater blessing on this earth than to walk in union with Christ. And surely that path is to be brought into a place like this, humble submission to Almighty God. Simple words, aren't they? As David says, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Well, if I was to ask you tonight, can you say those words? Can you truthfully say those words? And that means in respect to everything. David didn't know what it involved. And you and I may not know what it involves, but it's a good thing if the Spirit of God moves us as we consider him. You see, the Lord Jesus is there before us as a great and wonderful and blessed example. And the apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews, he said, consider him. Consider him. There's our example. Don't look elsewhere. Don't look around. Have a single eye to the glory of God. Consider him, the great cost of our salvation. So great, wasn't it? What a debt we owe. If you and I know anything of our sin, the sinfulness of our nature, the sinfulness of our heart, the evil that dwells within, oh, what a debt we owe this great and glorious Saviour who's shed his blood, who's died upon that cross to take away our sins, so that we might be blessed with the blessed gift of eternal life. Are you looking forward to eternal life in heaven? Are you willing then to submit to the ways of the Lord? Are you willing to come like this, like David was, faced with opposition? Oh yes, you see, he was bowing down before his God. Bow down before the Lord. To submit to his righteous way. My friends, he has a perfect right to govern you and me. A perfect right. Bless God when we're made willing in the day of his power to come like this then and say with God's servant David, oh, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. I'm willing to do that which God has before me. You know, God's people are called to serve him. They're not called to sit in an armchair and put their feet up. They're called to serve the Lord. And they're called to serve the Lord because he is their great and glorious master. And my friends, there's no better master. Be aware of that. There's no greater blessing than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege and a great blessing in whatever that may be. And my friends, God knows what work there is for each of us to do. Each of those who are called by his grace. We are to desire to be found serving the Lord, that his will might be done in our life. We are not our own. Why? Because we're bought with a price. David was bought with a price. And what was that price? The price of blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Christ. We read that line in a hymn, invaluable blood. My friends, how do you value the blood of Christ? Is it invaluable to you? Well, if it is, you'll understand what David said. And you'll be willing to come in with David in these words and says, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. To take us and deal with us and make us useful and make us be found serving the Lord. Because of what he's done for you and me. And my friends, tonight, let us ponder. Let us think of the example we have of David here in this account. Remember his willingness to do the Lord's will. Remember the Apostle Paul's willingness to do the Lord's will. Yes, and may you and I have a willing spirit to do the Lord's will. I wonder if you've been rebelling against God and have said, I will not take up my cross and follow the Saviour. Do you realise what the Saviour's done? Do you realise what the debt you owe? And yet, you still listen to the devil. You still hear his voice rather than the voice of the Beloved. Oh, the blessed voice of the Beloved came to that one in the Song of Solomon. Remember, there was that knock at the door, and the bride was too sleepy and too comfortable to open to her beloved. And then when she did get out of bed and open, her beloved had gone. beloved had gone. He'd gone away. Was she sad? Yes, she was. She sought her beloved. She couldn't find him. She was asked, what was her beloved more than another beloved? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? What is Christ to you and to me more than anyone else? What think ye of Christ is the test. To try both our work and our scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Now, the bride was able to give a good account of what her beloved was to the church of God. And my friends, may you and I be able to give a good account of what our beloved is. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is to our souls. And I hope he is and does mean something to you. Is your hope built on what Christ has done? Or are you relying on your own works? But oh, my friends, that will fail. Are you resting upon the finished work of Christ? My friends, if it is so, then as you think of these words here tonight, wonderful may they be, as David said, here am I, here am I. May we say that tonight, here am I before God, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth him good unto him. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Now rest assured, that which is good unto the Lord will be good for your soul and my soul. And my friends, you will never regret, desiring a prayer like this and to follow that direction the Lord gives you and leads you in. Because remember, he led them forth by the right way that they might come to a city of habitation. The Lord leads in a right way. Our flesh leads in a wrong way. But the right way is the way the Lord leads. And the Lord gives to us, before us, in his holy and precious word, a very clear way to follow him day by day. Take up our cross and follow him, willing in the day of his power, remembering what he brings before us here in this book of Samuel, the willingness of his servant David. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Well, may that be your prayer and my prayer. And if it is so, we can be sure there will be a good outcome, an outcome which will be for the honour and glory of God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £790, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. He hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 171. Join all who love the Saviour's name to sing his everlasting fame. Great God, prepare each heart and voice in him forever to rejoice. 171.
Come on.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.